हरिः ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे. Okay, so now Kichika has been killed by Bhima, and the guards have all come and seen he's there and all that, so they have not suspected anyone. And so they're asking, who could have done this? As Kichika's followers looked at him, they were filled with fear. Talking among themselves, they concluded that the Gandharvas must have killed their leader, right? Because otherwise, in their point, there's no one on earth who could kill him, right? No one is powerful, so therefore it must have been the Gandharvas, because Draupadi had said before that her Gandharva husbands, and said there's five, so five Gandharvas come to kill a human, there's not much chance of him living. One Gandharva human, maybe a little bit, but generally not. But five, then forget it. They lifted his body, which resembled the body of a tortoise, right? Because the tortoise then pulls all its limbs inside, there's just the shell, right? They lifted his body, which resembled the body of a tortoise with its limbs withdrawn, and carried him outside the hall to perform the last rites. As they made their way to the cremation ground, they saw Draupadi watching them. Knowing that Kichika had gone to meet her, some of them explained, right, because he would have talked that I'm going to meet this girl and this and that and all that, because that's the thing, remember she said that it should be private, no one should know. But with him, it's just like, okay, maybe it was not official, but it doesn't mean the people don't know. Because he talks, he's so proud, he doesn't care about anybody. Some of them explained, there is the unchaste one for whom Kichika was slain. She's the unchaste one? Kichika's making all the trouble, right? You know, she too should be killed. Let us burn her along with our Lord, right? Because in other words, he died for her, so she should also die along with him, you know, because he went to meet her. So then, you know, like husband and wife, then they go together like this. You know, it's weird. That's why Bhima said he'll kill him and his followers, because he's badly behaved and lacking good qualities. So his followers naturally also be similar. A couple of soldiers sought the king's permission to execute Draupadi by placing her on the fire with Kichika. The king, knowing the power of the commander's followers, agreed, right? So now, at this point, that is there, then we'll see this at the end. Because one may say is the behavior of the Pandavas at the end, we can remember this point here. The Sutas at once ran to Draupadi and seized her, right? So he's a Suta and they're all Sutas. So it seems to be like that. So because they're Sutas, then that has that mixed element of the Brahmin and Kshatriya, and because of that, there can be an impurity. So then, you know, if you're dealing with Brahminical, then that Kshatriya element, you know, passion can be there. If you're dealing with passion, there may be that subject element. So it doesn't necessarily come out pure. So that's the thing, that will also be one of the elements that makes it that he and his followers had that kind of impurity. It means if it's cultivated properly, then it can be uplifted, and if one's in Krishna consciousness, then these things can be properly engaged. But we remember, these are gross materialists. The Sutras at once ran to Draupadi and seized her. So that means she wasn't sitting out on the field and watching. She was, you know, in the palace in her place. And, you know, they have windows because the women of the palace, they didn't want to see anything going on, what's going on around, either inside in the court or outside or that. They have windows. They can watch everything. So she's watching from there, but they can see because they know is there. And she had said about the Gandharva husband. So they look up, you know, at the lady's palace. They see she's watching. Then they come up with their foolish plan. They bound the struggling princess and placed her upon the large bier with the Kichika's corpse. Right, so what they're going with him, the palanquin, they put her up there also. Draupadi cried out in terror as she was carried towards the crematorium. May Jaya, Jayanta, Vijaya, Jayatsena, and Jayabala hear my words. Right, because remember there was the code names for them, so that if any problem was there, they could say the code names, and then they would know something's very serious. But unless it's serious, you don't say the code names. But this is serious, right? Save me, the suitors are carrying me away. Let those heroic Gandharvas, whose chariots and bows resound like thunder, understand that their wife is in great peril. Bhima heard her pitiful cries, right? Because the kitchen area is going to be out, and it's going to be connected where it's open to the open areas, because all the think goods come in and everything like that. It means it'll be inside, but it's open at the back, right? He could understand that Kichika's followers were taking Draupadi to the crematorium, you know. The Pandava went there by different route without being seen, his head covered by a cloth. Right, so they're going down their way however they go. And he went by a different route. So no one's going to go along with him because it's their thing. It's not like Kichika has anybody that's going to worry about him. So it's just the guards. So the guards will go by their way because they'll burn down. There's a burning god. Remember their burning god out, you know, was outside where the Pandavas, you know, in that Sami tree where they put all the weapons. So it'll be outside. So generally no one would be, unless it's something formal, it's a family thing and all that, but he's not known as your great family person. And it's not that anybody has necessarily affection for him, he's just powerful. So Bhima won't go by the regular route people see. He knows other ways he'll get through, and then he'll come out where they're going to be. Scaling walls and bounding across gardens, right? So it's not even the standard things. He swiftly reached the cremation ground, which lay just outside the city. He found a great palmria tree, which is the tall trees. It means they're tall, T-A-L, just T-A-L. Very big, fat trees, and very straight and very tall. So they're big. Uprooted it and placed it on his shoulder. So this is huge. This is like these big, huge royal palms, but more solid. Right, the royal palms tend to be a bit hollow. They're thick walls, but you know there's a big hollow place in the middle. While these tall trees are more solid. Kichika's followers arrived and saw Bhima standing like death personified, holding his rod of chastisement. They howled in fear. Here is the Gandharva who killed Kichika. Release Sarindri before he kills us all. A touch late. The suttas put Draupadi down and ran in all directions. Bhima pursued them relentlessly and struck them down with the tree. Because the point is it's not like, see, it's like a qualified person's, you know, you're being challenged on the battlefield, and then they run and you leave them like that. But these people are criminals. You know, I mean, why are they dealing in this way? He's so proud. They go to the king, ask, they want all these things like that. They're, you know, somebody else's wife. And all that just because of their leader. So they're not in a good position. Because Bhima already said before, I'll kill him and his followers, you know, Kichika. So he knew that they would make trouble. As he struck out at them, he knocked over trees which fell crashing to the ground. Roaring like a furious lion, the Pandavas slew all the suttas one after another. In a short time, the crematorium was covered with more than 100 dead bodies. They all lay about like uprooted trees, telling Draupadi to return to her rooms. Bhima quickly went back by the route he had come before anyone discovered him. Right, because they're going to be expecting to see people on the road, so if people come out to see what's happening, he goes over walls and this and that, so immediately he's already inside, just goes over one wall and he's inside. The people of Virata, hearing the commotion from the crematorium, rushed to see what was causing it. Discovering the slain suttas, they ran to the king and informed him. O king, the powerful Sutta followers of Kichika have all been killed. They are scattered about like so many mountain summits clapped by thunderbolts. So it's not even just, you know, they're there and some, you know, got hit by an arrow, but they're just slewn all over like they've been, you know, very much, you know, very strongly dealt with. Surely this is the work of the Gandharvas, enraged by Kichika's assault on Sarindri. She is now returning to your city unharmed. We are afraid of her. She is beautiful beyond compare. The Gandharvas are powerful and wrathful, and men are undoubtedly lustful. Quickly do something so that our city may not be destroyed. They've gone 11 months. No one's bothering anything. Kichika is being a rat bag, right? And then he goes after. he's dead, his guys are dead. No one will bother her. But, you know, because the way the materialistic mind, the way it works, it says, oh no, it could happen to us, you know, like, but it hasn't happened all this time. Virat was astonished. Let Kichika and all his followers be cremated on one great pyre with gems and perfumes. I will take care of Sairindri. Turning to his wife, the king said, when Sairindri comes, tell her this from me. Fair one, please go wherever you like with my blessings. We are afraid the Gandharvas will destroy us all. Indeed, I am too fearful to even speak with you directly. Because now he's worried that if he speaks, maybe they'll get upset with that. But no one's catching how badly he was behaving. Everybody else behaved nicely. As Draupadi entered the city, the people fled in all directions like deer seeing a tiger. She just walks down the street and everyone's, whoosh, you know. Some even shut their eyes and covered their heads. Draupadi went back into the palace. After she had bathed, the queen approached her and conveyed Virat's message. Draupadi replied, "Oh, queen, allow me to remain here for only 2 more weeks, right? Because the timing is such. So the whole point is that they have, the timing is there. There's only a little bit of time left. So as it is, nobody knows that they're coming. They didn't say it. We'll stay here for a year. Right, and so then the point is it will be 1 year is up. So they're just saying a few more weeks here. 2 more weeks. The Gandharvas will be obliged to you for this favor, right? So she's saying the Gandharvas will be very happy, which is true because that's her husband's. And so they're worried the Gandharvas will be upset, but she's saying no, you know, husbands will be very happy for this. After that, they will take me away from here and do whatever is agreeable to you, right? So that she stayed here for this time, the Gandharvas will come and take her after 2 weeks, and then, you know, she's making the point, and whatever is agreeable to you, then they will arrange. The king assented and released Draupadi from her duties, right? Because now they see someone with such powerful husbands that can wipe out, you know, the most powerful warriors. You know, you don't have her doing menial service and all that. You know, you deal like her, you just, you know, she can stay there, we'll feed her. You know, everyone stays out of the way. After telling her to remain in the palace until her husband's came, she left to inform the king, the queen. Chapter 37, the Kurus attack Virat. The news of Kichika's death spread from country to country, right? Because he's very famous on, you know, how powerful he is and all the great wrestlers. And, you know, they all know you don't attack Virat, not because Virat himself is so powerful, because Kichika is powerful, right? And Kichika probably would have taken over, but it's his sister. Sister is the queen. And so, therefore, he has all the facility he needs. At least in that way, he's smarter than Duryodhana. You know, that... You know, maybe he's not on the top as the king, but because his sister's there, and if he becomes the king, then his sister is in something special. So let his sister be the king, the queen, and her husband's the king, but he'll protect the place, but he'll do whatever he likes. Everyone was amazed to hear of his mysterious killing and the subsequent death of his 100 followers. In Hastinapur, the spies dispatched by Duryodhana came to the court and reported everything that they had seen and heard. After informing the Kurus that they had found no trace of the Pandavas, they then told them about Kichika's death, right? So they told them, they went everywhere, they didn't find any trace. But then they mentioned about Kichika's death at the end, because that's a side thing. The Kurus were joyful to hear this news. Kichika had been a thorn in their side, often attacking surrounding countries and defeating their armies. Many times tributary kings seeking protection from Kichika had approached the Kurus. Now he and his generals were dead, apparently killed by invisible Gandharvas. So this 100 were his generals. So that, you know, when they say the powerful, these are the generals. Then he has so many more, right? Duryodhana pondered the news. Less than 2 weeks remained of the Pandavas' exile. Although he had sent out thousands of spies, none had managed to find them. The Pandavas had hidden themselves well, if they were even alive. Because that's the thing, they don't know. They could be alive, they could be not alive, you know. That. The prince summoned his courtiers and said, "You should arrange for one final search for the Pandavas. Have the best of our men scour every city and town. If those heroes still live, we face great danger," right? Because now, 12 years is up. Now we face great danger. Now he's worried about it. Why didn't he worry about it at the gambling match, right? No. "We are expecting them to emerge from exile surrounded by their forces. Let us discover them before this happens and send them back to the forest." Right? And their plan can only work because Yudhishthir is so religious that, you know, if that's the arrangement, because it's authorized by his guardian, you know, Dhritarashtra, then he'll follow it. If it had been anybody else other than Yudhishthir, you see Bhima, he would have killed him right on the spot. When Dushasana went and dragged out Draupadi, he would have just got up then and killed him. Like that. And then anybody else, he would have been watching, anybody else who was supporting and all that, he would have gone and killed them. So, you know, it's only because of Yudhishthir and his virtue. Dushasana agreed, "We should certainly make a great effort to locate the Pandavas, but I doubt we will find them. We have already searched every city and town. Either they have perished or they have crossed the ocean." Means we haven't found them anywhere. "I think they are gone forever. I do not think we need fear them." Right? So cross the ocean, because many times then from the ocean they would go to, at least in the Shastras, you see they would go to Sumatra in Indonesia. That's the main island there. And there would be trade with them. You know, the business, the mercantiles class would many times take ships over there and bring things from there and do business and everything. So they probably figure, you know, they left because they knew that, you know, in his mind is, we're so great, they'll never be able to defeat us, so they ran, right? When Dushasana sat down, Drona stood up and said, "Persons like the Pandavas never meet destruction." You know, his point. Because if you just leave it at that, then good, they think like that, and so it goes nicely. But at the same time, is because he's saying that about them, then it's insulting to the Pandavas, so then Drona then defends the Pandavas. But at the same time, it brings the attention to the Pandavas. "Persons like the Pandavas never meet destruction. They are heroic, resourceful, intelligent, self-controlled, pious, grateful, and attached to observing vows. Yudhishthir is both virtuous and without enemies. He is their leader. Thus, they are patiently waiting the day when they can return and overcome their misfortunes. This is my opinion. O Duryodhana, you will see the Pandavas at the end of their exile and not before." So that's his point, is that they won't be destroyed, but you won't see them before the exile is over. "Do not waste your energy searching for them. Rather, you should prepare a welcome for them. Give them back their kingdom." That's what he's saying. They're going to come back, give them their kingdom back. Of course, he spent probably all the money, but in any case, you should give the kingdom back. That's what you should be preparing, not looking for them again. They've already been looking now for 11 and a half months. All right, and so he's saying, Bhishma applauded Drona's speech. So one, it defended the Pandavas, and at the same time, it said what they actually should do to, you know, receive the Pandavas properly. Bhishma applauded Drona's speech. The Kuru grandfather longed to see the Pandu's sons. Their exile had passed slowly for him. His guilt at not having prevented Duryodhana from banishing them burned him day and night. The pain of remembering how Draupadi had been violated was especially acute. Right, so acute means it's very sharp. It's not that it's, you know, gotten dull. Bhishma felt helpless. Dhritarashtra did not heed his advice, and the evil-minded Duryodhana was left to do as he pleased. So we see a similar kind of thing with Kichika, right, and his followers, that they're so powerful that they were by power then controlling Virat. And Duryodhana, because of his father's attachment to him, is controlling. And then they do things they shouldn't do. Now the Pandavas would finally be returning. Surely they had suffered enough. Perhaps the king could now be convinced to return to them their kingdom. Like the full moon rising in the east, Bhishma, clad in white silks, rose from his seat to address the assembly. I fully agree with Drona. The virtuous Pandavas, guided by the Brahmins and walking always on a righteous path, will not perish. They who have as a friend the infallible and all-powerful Krishna, cannot be overcome by misfortune. The pure-souled Yudhishthira can consume his enemies with his glance alone. We should consider carefully how to deal with them now that their exile is ending. It is certainly a mean policy to search for them. I have another view. Listen carefully, and I will speak for our good. A counselor should always speak the beneficial truth and never anything evil. Okay, so next time we'll hear what Bhishma has to say. Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Shri Prabhupada.